Good morning and God bless everybody. This is Joe and this is teaching number 5 on Who Told You That? And the title of this teaching is called The Gray Area. And it's very interesting because this was the whole thing that was working in my heart when I was putting this together. And that is how to best handle the only way I could think of it was the gray area, the area between something that we have learned and lived according to, maybe for a long time, and the actual way that we should be thinking and believing and behaving that is contrasted to that. In other words, we believed one way and now we are choosing because of either new information, new light, to believe and live a different way. And there's a gray area in there. There's an area of change where we go from one to the other. And, you know, as we hold forth God's word and as we live our life Christ-like, we're going to be getting enlightened. We're going to be changing. We're going to be growing, developing our believing, our faith, our agape. It's going to be increasing and abounding. It's just dynamic and growing. So this process happens all the time. Sometimes it's really easy to deal with. Other times it's not. But very specifically, when we get to the place and realize in our lives that we literally have been lied to and we've been living according to a lie to things that are not according to God's written word, we have to come to grips with that. And we can do what we want to do. We can choose to keep the same way. We can choose to do something about it. We can choose to mix half and half, whatever we want to do. It's our choice. And that's the beauty of the freedom that we have as individuals, to be able to choose and to decide which way we want to go in life. Well, this is what really was stirring in my heart. I've gone through this so much in my life, and I'm pulling from actual examples of what I needed to do, what I had to do. And I had to relocate my whole life because of the way that it was entrenched in certain ways of thought and belief and others' perceptions and the way they thought about of me. And it's just the way that life was coming out of being raised in a family and then stepping out into the world and, you know, our choices made and different things like that, the way that we conduct ourselves physically, mentally, spiritually. Sometimes a big change is the best thing, the best antidote to help, because you can't remain in an environment that you want to change from and expect great changes to happen unless you really are dynamically putting on the renewed mind principles, and that's where you're at and that's where you need to be. Anyway, I just have gone through a lot in my life, and it's not good or bad. It's just the way life is. And I think you all have experienced this too, but how to handle the gray area, the transition between one way of thinking and behaving to a totally different way of thinking and behaving. How to put on God's word, how to live that. And that's the purpose of this teaching number 5, the final teaching in this little series, Who Told You That? I wanted to teach it and nothing else but it. But how could I do that? I couldn't see a way to do that without communicating who God is, who our Heavenly Father is, who God's Word says that He is. What are some of the truths, at least, about that, so we can have a portrait and a picture of God, the way that He really is, and that is laid out in the Word succinctly enough for us to be able to grasp that and see that and go to those areas like that. And that was teaching number 1, and then that segued into the second teaching, What Pleases God? Now that we know who He is and we can see that, our perception can put that on and think about that. What pleases him? And how he cares for his people, namely us right now, his sons and daughters. And then also who the other fathers are out there. We talked about fathers of the flesh, and then we talked about the father of lies. So we got a well-rounded picture of aspects of fatherliness and what it means, especially in light of what pleases God, our Heavenly Father. And that just naturally went into what to do with that knowledge. Since we've learned who God is, what pleases Him, what do we do about that? Well, with one mind and one mouth, we give glory to that God with His Word, and that pleases Him. And that means we recognize and we line up our thoughts and behaviors with who God is and what pleases Him. And so further, it was more along the lines of how to recognize and change black and white absolute things that we base our belief system on and behavior to things that needed to be changed. Things on the other side, the side of, when we looked at the old wine versus new wine, how to desire and make black and white, make absolute the new way of thinking, the Christ-like way of thinking. And so when you're going from one to the other, we needed to recognize it and start a process that when we learn the new way, we learn what is absolutely true from God's Word compared to maybe another way that we were taught. And I'm specifically referring to legalism versus liberty and freedom in Christ. I'm specifically referring to being justified by works and trying to fix the old man, to walking in liberty because Jesus Christ justified us through His life and His actions and what God did for Him in raising Him from the dead. That's what I'm speaking of. And how to speak those things and how to confess those things and live according to them. And one of the great things that pleases God is us doing that. So as we start to speak the new things that we've heard, we do it with one mind and one mouth. Well, as we do that, it doesn't stop there. It stops with how do we keep that in our life? Because once it's there, once a person becomes born again, is saved and has God in Christ in them and has some renewed mind principles in operation to take and give glory to God, how do you keep that? How do you guard that? How do you mind heavenly things? And the understanding of how to recognize the roar, and there is a roar out there that is going on 24/7 to distract and to redirect any Christian away from God's Word, back to things of the world, back to some type of bondage, some type of legalism, some type of non-Christ-like thing. Jesus Christ did not die and He was not raised from the dead for many things that are taught out there. And the roar is designed to get people away from the truth of the one mind and one mouth, what pleases God, who God is. And so that's what teaching four was about, recognizing the roar and how to absolutely be in the faith of Jesus Christ. And so here we are at the gray area. Here we are that we absolutely want to be in the faith. We recognize that there's things in our life that we don't want to be like, that they didn't bless us. We still have to deal with sin consciousness, some type of condemnation, guilt, shame, of depression, anxiety, whatever those type of things are, Jesus Christ fixed. And it's up to the individual to put on and change now. There's nothing more God's going to do. He did it all through Christ. It's up to the individual to do that. And as we have just totally solidified our whole life to move ahead in this arena, putting on the new, there's a process we go through, and there's a period of time we go through. Hopefully it's as little as possible, because the disparity between the ideal, which is what God's word says, and the experimental, the way that we're actually thinking and behaving, it needs to be as small as possible. It really does. It needs to be as small as possible. And as it's as small as possible, then it makes the lifestyle come into realization the most quickly. So we're going to go to Philippians chapter 3, but the heavenly things that we mind, they're heavenly things from also we're looking for Jesus Christ to come back from. We're looking into the heavenlies, and through God's word and what he says is available, he's showing us the eternity. He's showing us the way things are. He's showing us the way that he has made us through Christ Jesus. And he's also telling us that Jesus Christ is coming back from that same place. Talk about a change happening. You know, any way that we've been changing in our lives now as we're growing up in Christ, as Christ is being formed in us, is going to be far bigger. What's going to be happening to us when we are changed into the same image, that glorious image of Jesus Christ. We don't do the changing ourselves. God does that. We're changed by the Spirit of the Lord. And our very bodies are going to be changed so that they may be fashioned according to God's heavenly blueprint, the way he designed it, which is Jesus Christ's glorious body from glory to glory. There's spiritual liberty and freedom here. We're going to learn about more benefits of sipping the new wine, more benefits of putting on the truths of God's word that Jesus Christ made available with his perfect sinless life. He fixed man's problem. He fixed man's plight. Man came short of the glory of God because this world was covered in guilt and shame and condemnation. It was a layer that was put over it, literally stopping man from getting to God. It just couldn't happen. And when death entered the scene, which was the part of Adam's high treason, it could only be fixed by a secret, mysterious way called the mystery that God kept secret from before the foundation of the heaven and the earth. And I say mysterious loosely because there's nothing mysterious about it. I just say that is from the Greek word mysterion. It's a mystery that the Gentiles and the Jews would be fellow heirs and partakers in Christ of the same body. Wow, that's what we have. He fixed it. And when Jesus Christ went through the veil, because God ripped the veil, God opened it up. God opened up the separation between he and man. And Jesus Christ entered into the heavens through that veil. That little tiny 90-foot high curtain got opened up. And then spiritually, Jesus Christ entered into heaven. And his sacrifice of himself was accepted by God. His blood, his life covered man's sins. And any time that God looks at that area, he sees Jesus Christ's accomplishments. Man's sins are covered. They're covered. They're blotted out. They're gone. It's just as if we never sinned. That's God's word on the subject. And we have that. It was proven out on the day of Pentecost when cloven tongues like as the fire set on each of the 12 apostles, and they spoke in tongues. They manifested power from on high. The cloven tongues signified God's acceptance of Jesus Christ's sacrifice to mankind. He already had done it in the heavens. And you can look in the Old Testament. You can see many times when God accepted a sacrifice. Look at Elijah, where fire came down from heaven and consumed it. God accepted it. And what a beautiful thing that is. Well, in Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 13, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. We're talking about going from the absolute black and white of legalism and things that we've noticed and seen in God's word, that they are not written to us. They're written for our learning. They're not for us to apply right now. There's nothing but of confusion and problems that will come up with that type of living. We're going from that to the absoluteness of God in Christ in us. The absoluteness of the freedom and liberty of who we are. We're changing our absolute black and white. We are thus saith the Lord people for what the seven church epistles say. And we're going from one absolute to the other, one black and white to the other. As part of the who told you that process, which we've been studying, there is the dynamic of great change. It's just always happening. Reaching forth is part of that change. It's a natural growing process of learning and putting on more of God's word. Forget those things which are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before. We could spend oodles of time going through God's word about a reaching forth process, that we want to go from the milk to the meat of the word. We want to go from being at Calvary in salvation, which is very critical, but it's a one-time thing. We get saved and we're born again. We want to go from there to perfection, which means to walking Christ-like in our lives. And that's this absolute to absolute that we're talking about. Psalm 33, I'd like to read verse 15, because as part of this natural growing process of learning and putting on more of God's word, in Psalm 33, verse 15, it says, He, God, fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. God made our hearts. He understands everything that we do. Through all of our lives, we continue to have hope that God's word to us, it's based on who He is and not just on what we do. It's not all about us. It's not all about just like how we behave and what we do. We're gonna trip up sometimes. We're not going to walk perfectly. We're going to try to, as we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, as we walk in His footsteps. But my gosh, we've got an unjust world out there. We laid that out pretty clearly. But God's word is just, and He has no greater joy than to hear that His children walk in truth. But sometimes when things happen and we don't walk the way we want to, we do that which we hate. We're not doing the thing that we love, like it says in Romans chapter 7. We continue to have hope that God's word to us is based on who He is. It's not just based on what we do. It's who He is, what He's all about. Isn't that the most amazing thing? Yes, yes. His love, His care, His agape behavior toward us, it is strong enough to stick with us through all the dynamic changes in our growing faith. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He's always going to be there for us. So we may look at, and I'm talking about the gray area, okay? We may look at lots of changes. What do I do? What are people going to think? How is this person going to perceive that area of God's word that's being taught right now, et cetera, et cetera? But what about who God is? He is unchanging. He's immutable. He just does not change. Sure. Isaiah chapter 8, I'd like to read verse 11 and 12. And in verse 11 of Isaiah 8, For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, Say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Well, the who told you that question comes up. When people voice their fear, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Fear is based on lies and wrong doctrine. Lies and wrong doctrine is always at the root of fear. People are saying, be afraid. People are saying this is going to happen. God says, neither fear ye their fear nor be afraid. Whatever category of fear it is, which is tied into whatever wrong doctrine they're being promoted and they're being encouraged by. When God's word plainly says, neither fear ye their fear nor be afraid, and our brain tells us to be afraid, one of them's got to be a liar. One of them is lying to us. Only with the renewed mind principles in action can we overcome this fear ye their fear syndrome of the mind. And the mind does work like that. by way of the renewed mind. Truth doctrine replaces whatever doctrine, whatever cultural or traditional beliefs that are present. Renewed mind principles and application literally reframe. It reframes and transforms the thinking process into a godly picture of what is real. What is real is neither fear ye their fear nor be afraid. With the renewed mind principles in action, you know what you're doing? You're pursuing with one mind and one mouth. You're pursuing what you believe to be true, that God is your Father. He's going to take care of you. What pleases Him, that it does please Him, that we stand on the truth of His Word. He loves when we give glory to Him. You're pursuing what is godly, what is right, and what is spiritually healthy for yourself. God, He just loves us, and He gives us great things, and He has pleasure in our prosperity. And above all things, He wants us to be, our soul to prosper and to be in health. He wants us to be led in a prosperous, healthy way. And that's the way of His Word. So much so that He's prepared for us a table in the presence of our enemies, that we can walk right up to the goodness of God and partake of it no matter what's going on around us. And so in this gray area, there needs to be a separation between what we've decided to do, what we've decided to attach our belief system to, and make that the black and white in our life and the way things used to be. And I promise you, the way things used to be, if they did not have some of the truths of God's Word in there, specifically that's in the seven church epistles, fear is there. Guilt is there. Shame is there. Condemnation is there. Depression is there. Anxiety is there. Those things are there where you feel like you never can do enough. You feel like you're coming short. And as you mature in God's Word, that all changes. That all changes because we're putting on the mind of Christ and those same thoughts that He thought. And our whole life just changes and grows. And we can walk up to the table of God in the presence of anything and give Him the credit, the glory, and thank Him for what He's provided in the midst of the enemy saying, you can't have anything, that you're going to suffer. You're going to lose. You're going to have lack. You're not worthy of going into the presence of God. Whatever those thoughts are, whenever they arise, we've got God's Word to combat that with. And there is a roar that's happening continually that's pushing these doctrines. I'm not making them up, and I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just telling you what's out there and what we all have dealt with and what we will deal with. The same afflictions and the sufferings and stuff that we go through at different times are accomplished in our brethren that are in the world. This is worldwide. Why? Because Adam's high treason caused guilt, shame, and condemnation to be spread over the entire earth as a covering to mask what God is all about. And God sent His Son Jesus Christ, and He fixed that. It's been fixed. I love that. So renewed mind, literally, it reframes and transforms the thinking process into a godly picture of what is real. What is real? What is real? Neither fear you their fear nor be afraid. We're pursuing these things. What is godly? We place ourselves in healing environments other than the one causing the fear. We don't have to sit there and take it. And I wouldn't. And I don't. If I realize some doctrine out there that's causing fear and it's being shoved right in my face, I'm going to walk away from it. I'm going to hold forth God's Word about it. I'm going to do anything I can do to keep my life glorifying our Heavenly Father. And I expect that all Christians are like that, that they want to do the same thing. Ephesians chapter 1, I'd like to read verses 18 and 19. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened, what does it do? It enlightens. It causes incredible light, incredible understanding, and incredible change. Who does it do that to? To us who believe. What does that mean? Well, we allow our believing faith to shift and be mixed with what God's Word says. Specifically, right here, let it be mixed with hope. Let it be mixed with riches. Let it be mixed with the exceeding greatness of God's power. Choose to mix your faith with what God's Word says and make it absolute in your life. This is the black and white of your life. I choose to believe this. Any lack, any other way, I will not believe that. I'll believe that God will provide and take care of because He will bring His Word to pass. And He promises that. And He has exceeding great promises to me, some I haven't even seen yet that He's going to be doing. But I believe His Word. I believe that He can do that. So we allow our faith, our believing faith that God dealt with to us, the measure of faith, to shift. We can unattach it from one and attach it to another. And that attachment period can happen instantly, but the behavior in that way and the learning and the speaking of the truths of God's Word that collaborate that and parallel that may take a minute. The shift is happening. So we allow time. We allow it to shift. We allow ourselves to go through whatever we go through. And it's going to be okay. So sadness, anxiety, guilt-ridden thoughts, depression, misery, whatever all that is, will leave. They're going to leave at the possibilities that open up to us. Literally, the possibilities are endless. Those things in our life that need to fall by the wayside, that they're simply attached to legalism, they will be replaced with these enlightening possibilities. Glorious hope, riches, and power will happen. Who told you that? God's Word did. That's the absolute of God's Word being spoken of in the seven church epistles. Well, let's look at this gray area. We need to go to Mark chapter 10 to be able to do that. Mark chapter 10, I'd like to read verses 29 and 30. Verse 29, and Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now and this time, houses, brethren, sisters, and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. So there are things that we go through in the gray area. I think many times that's when the suffering, tribulation, the persecutions, the what do other people think? How am I going to adapt to this new? Did I do the right thing? Because, you know, the roar could be so loud and long at an individual when they're made a choice to make a change that they doubt themselves. They start to think, maybe I made the wrong decision. Well, the truth of God's Word says otherwise, and that's where we come back to the truth of God's Word. And that's why the word persecution is even said in here in Mark chapter 10, that Jesus said, when people make a change, and they do it for His sake, they do it for His sake. I'm blown away by that, because it is what's spiritually healthy for ourselves we're pursuing. What's godly? What's Christ-like? What's right? And that's where we talked about the renewed mind principles being in operation, those processes on how to be transformed by the renewing of our mind that we spoke of in earlier teachings in Romans chapter 12. Yeah, but it's for the Lord's sake that we're doing it. It's for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake that the old wine belief system previously adhered to, that it isn't believed anymore. We've unmixed our faith from it. We've taken our faith and chosen to mix it with the truths of God's Word that replace the old. We put off the old. We're putting on the new. And like it says here in Mark chapter 10, some even leave the community that believes the old way. The one mind and the one mouth of community and culture it's changed. It's now focused on a whole different doctrine and way of living. And God provides the brethren and the houses and the sisters and the mothers and the children and the lands. Even though they come with the roar, the persecutions, because you know what else he provides? In the world to come, eternal life. He just told us there's a world to come that's way different from this world because it's in the world to come that God's got to create. So it's going to be different because whenever he creates, it's something that has not been in existence before. And then eternal life. That's what comes with the new wine. And if that's all that comes with the new wine, eternal life, so be it. But there's so much more. There's so much more. So the one mind and one mouth of community and culture, now it's focused on a whole different doctrine and a way of living. Our conversation and our manner of life, it's in the heavenlies. Well, this is a huge deal. Why? Because whenever separation happens, what else happens? The memories, the old ways of doing and thinking and behaving, they change. Some don't, but most do. There's a change taking place, very visible change. Yeah. This makes me think about that we're living epistles. We're showing the epistles that's written in our heart, known and read of all men. People see the change. Well, it's truth. We're changing into truth. And we're not responsible for being lied to. We're not responsible for what others have taught us. We're responsible for what we do as we learn God's word. And by his grace, he's making known unto us his word. How special, how privileged we are. Because natural man understandeth not the things of the spirit. They're foolishness unto him. The only way that we can even discern and know God's word is that God reveals his word through the gift of Holy Spirit to us. We are special sons and daughters. It's so wonderful. Well, this change, this separation that happens because of the memories and the old ways of doing things changing, it causes a change. It causes like a detaching. And with detaching and separation and putting on the new, putting off the old, this gray area I speak of, it can cause some anxiety. It can cause wondering about what others think. That can arise. Of course it can. You know, thoughts like, well, they think differently now because I have different beliefs and I'm pursuing a different path. You know, people can even go so far to tell you to your face that you're wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. You need to be doing this, that you need to be here, that you need to stay where you're planted. I mean, I've heard all that. I've been there. I speak from experience about this too. Well, but I also speak from God's word, like it just says in Mark chapter 10. And without getting any deeper into these realities that are present in the world, this period of time changing from the somewhat comforting old way, because you just knew what was expected, how things were going to be, changing from that old way of living and being to the absolute black and white liberty and freedom in Christ's way of living represents a gray area. There is a gray area between the two. The gray area between what you used to believe and what you believe now, it can cause some turmoil, and it does cause turmoil in the heart. It can, but that's okay. That's part of the change. Just accept it and just move on and just put on what you believe to be true. Let your faith mix with that and become absolute black and white on what Jesus Christ accomplished and what we have as a result of it and how to live accordingly. And the only way we're ever going to be able to do that is through the principles in God's word and by God revealing this new word to us, the New Testament in his blood, in Jesus Christ's blood, what he gave his life for and what God raised him from the dead for. Well, how do we handle this who told you that period of our lives where we are starting to learn and know that, man, there are things that ain't the way things supposed to be. And I believe that, and I don't want to be there anymore. And I'm making a change because I'm tired of the way things were, are, whatever. I want to see the relief and the joy and the promises of God's word come to pass even more greatly in my life. And that leads us to the new absolute black and white bringing the indwelling of Christ. Sure, Ephesians chapter 3, let's read verses 17 to 19. Let's talk about this absolute, because we just talked about the gray area, and I think enough said on that. But the new absolute, black and white, let's bring up a couple of the very succinct truths about it, about what we have, who we are, what it is. We know enough about the old legalism that you got to do this, you got to do it by works, and you're a sinner brother and all that stuff that gets shoved down throats. This is different. This is new, but it's also absolute. It's true. It's black and white. It's in the epistles. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Well, on this pathway to the absolute black and white of our Christ-like liberty and freedom, we're recognizing that Christ is dwelling in our hearts by faith. We've mixed our faith with Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Yes, we've confessed Jesus as our Lord. We believe God to raise him from the dead. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That's what it says back there in Romans, one of the seven church epistles. And by faith, we mixed our faith with that. Well, Christ is dwelling in our hearts by faith. We mix our faith with the truth that he's dwelling in our hearts. This is the dealt out measure of faith God gave to every person. We choose. We are powerful. We choose to mix it. That faith that God gave to every person on the face of this earth with the truths of God's word. And while on this pathway to being absolutely rooted and grounded in this belief, well, I guess some feelings of inconsistency can arise. Yeah, sure. Do I really have Christ in me? Well, you prove it by speaking in tongues. That's why God gave us the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. The old way of thinking, it was being thought of as being real and being reality. Whoever thought of Christ being in you, the hope of glory, of being powerful, having resurrection power, that you're being rooted and grounded, that you could comprehend the agape of God, his behavior, his life, who he is, and to know what Jesus Christ accomplished and how he behaved and how he gave his life and God raised him from the dead. And then we being filled with all the fullness of God, that's not in the old way of thinking. No, there's a whole lot of other stuff on the other side of Calvary leading up to that, but that wasn't in there. No, it wasn't in there at all, except through the perfect sinless life and walk that was recognized in there, but it's fully explained in the seven church epistles, which came later. Yeah, so the old way of thinking, the legalistic way of thinking, that was real. That was reality. So much so that it became habitual with the individual, feeling just normal and natural. This is the way life is. I feel like this. There's no other thing out there. Well, there is. And the newness and the brightness and the incredibleness and the enlighteningness of it necessitates us being able to see it, to understand it, and to take our faith and mix it with that. We just mix it with that. We just take it from one and put it on the other. We choose to do that. And then we start to desire that. We start to behave that way. And there's a Christ being formed in us that happens. Things taught, associated feelings, thoughts, and talk all lined up with the old way of thinking. Well, that's changing. The indwelling of Christ and being filled with all the fullness of God, it will happen. It's there. He's already inside of us. But it will happen. What will happen? Where we take and we attach our faith, because it's by faith that we recognize and believe and behave according to Christ dwelling in our hearts. Who told you that? God's word did. Well, the next thing is the new absolute black and white brings joy. We just saw that it brought our faith in the indwelling of Christ and to know the agape of Christ being filled with the fullness of God. It brings so much more. This is the new absolute black and white. This is what we want to attach our whole life and everything that we are, everything that we hope to be to. Sure. In response to our thankfulness that God having granted us the eternal life from which some have walked away. Think those fallen spirit men. They left the eternal life. Oh my gosh. That's a whole nother aside. All right, Luke chapter 24. I'd like to read verses 38 to 41. The new absolute black and white, it brings joy. Verse 38, and he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your heart? I didn't make this up. Things do arise. Thoughts to the contrary do arise. When you're even seeing the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, and we see him face to face through God's word. Yeah, thoughts will arise. They will be troubling. Whenever our hearts are troubled, God said in his word, neither be ye troubled nor be afraid. Fear not. That's that confederacy stuff. I'm telling you, there's a big fight out there. We got to keep standing on God's word. Minute by minute sometimes when thoughts start arising in our hearts, well, we can line them up and put them where they need to go. Well, Jesus Christ then said, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. And when he hath thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believe not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, have you here any meat? And it went on. They believe not for joy. Well, thoughts arise as we learn how to align our thoughts and behavior up with new beliefs. We need to be able to reach out and touch God's word and what the new is. We need to be able to do that, to visualize it, to see it, to speak it, to say it, to be able to make that shift. That's the rooting and grounding that happens, that it's not just some ethereal thought somewhere. It is a actual words written on the pages of God's word we mix our faith with, and we see it come alive because God's word is alive. It is life, and it brings life into our lives. It's perfectly normal to having thoughts arise in the heart. That's the old man way of thinking. That's what we beat down and reckon dead as we put on the new man. We have something to put on. It's not just the old man wreaking havoc and running amok anymore. It says here, they believe not for joy. They hadn't yet attached their faith to who was standing right in front of them. They believed the other. But they saw him standing right in front of them, and they had immediate joy from it. The presence of God in Christ in us brings immediate joy. As we believe God's word, as we put it on, it comes into manifestation. Yes, it's okay to have joy in life, no matter how things were 2 days before or 3 days before. Or that morning, they believe not for joy. The end result is going from glory to glory. The Old Testament was glorious, but it was glorious in this respect that it was written by God's word, and it was a stopgap measure until Jesus Christ came. And so when people followed it, there was a glory about it. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. But the glory that we have now with Christ in us, the hope of glory, so far exceeds that, that it's almost not worth comparing. But there is a comparison here, from glory to glory. And the glory that we have brings Christ-like joy in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ-like joy is the result. So instead of being in the presence of black and white rules, man-made doctrines, traditions, and legalism, we're now in the presence of God and Christ in us. But they're inside of us. So we reach out, touch the resurrection, through God's word. Reach out, put on God's word concerning these things, where they're at in God's word, and that's in the seven church epistles. That's the new wine. We allow our believing faith to shift and be mixed with freedom, with liberty, and let the joy come up as we see the reality of it. Yeah, we're being rooted and grounded, and sometimes we need to have a visual. Well, let the visual be God's word. Sure. Sadness, anxiety, guilt-ridden thoughts, depression, misery, they all leave at joy's possibilities. Joy will happen. Who told you that? God's word did. The new absolute black and white brings comfort. Sure, there's so much more. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. We talked about a mystery, right? To the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, the Father, and of Christ. That's why we've talked about who the Father is. We've talked about what pleases Him. We've talked about these great truths and stuff with one mind and one mouth. We've talked about how to put on God's word, the absolute change from one absolute to the other. Now we're talking about the roar. We're talking about the process, the benefits of going from one to the other. There may be stressors from how you now translate the meaning of life, you know, like future unknowns, shifts, having different perspective, and it's okay. We can have those stressors, and we just saw that in God's word, how that thoughts are going to arise. It's how we translate the meaning of how we understand things. Well, just allow the clarity and the light of God's word to keep shining through. And as that enlightening process happens, the darkness just goes by the wayside. The thoughts that they really don't connect anymore, that the old man or the way our mind works is trying to make a real picture from, that could be very deceiving actually, is changing into what God's word really says. And God's word says that our hearts might be comforted. Yeah, it can and will happen. That's the way God's word says here. And, you know, as we come from different backgrounds of black and white absolutes, we've all been taught many of the same things, but also many different things. The way we've been taught, how people conducted themselves, it's all different. It's a melting pot of differences. And yet, the perceived comfort that we receive of knowing right and wrong, it has been disconcerting at best, because you see one way and you do another. You do one thing, but somebody else does another. And it comes from all the different backgrounds of our lives. And there are stressors involved. That's why thoughts arose in these men's heart. They all came from different backgrounds of life. They all had different experiences. And yet they had many common things as they came together and did what they did. But there were stressors that did happen. Yeah, and that's their perceived comfort being affected. They were trying to grab onto whatever they could do to feel comforted. And it wasn't until the presence of Jesus Christ came right before them that true comfort arrived, and that they were able to, for the first time, have joy in that situation. And bear in mind that they just came out of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It had just happened. Yes, and joy came up. Isn't that great? Yeah, it's really great. The godly comfort that happens from knitting one's heart together, knitting together in love, in agape, their hearts, that means people's hearts being comforted, not just a one-off situation, but people's hearts being comforted, being knit together, it's incomparable. When we detach from the lie, when we detach from legalism, when we detach from those things that may have been a basis for much of our lives, may have only been there a little bit, just the way that it is. But when we detach from that, and attach and knit ourselves together with the doctrine of God's word, specifically in the seven church epistles, with those people that are doing it also, you know, it's kind of hard to get healed from sickness when you're around sickness all the time, kind of thing. When we do that, something great happens. An incomparable thing happens, that we have assurance of understanding. There's an acknowledgement of the mystery that God works in our hearts and lives. There is a riches of the full assurance of understanding that happens. The godly comfort that happens from knitting one's heart together, coupled with the agape behavior, is incomparable. Being knit together with nothing, with loneliness, this is from needing godly and human connection. When we are knit together with nothing, or we're knit together or coupled together in, I guess you could call it, the community faith of those that believe in a legalistic way, or a community that believes, you know, that don't even know how they believe. You know, they're just communities all over the world believe in certain ways. And I'm talking about putting on the faith of Jesus Christ, believing that we are changing into. But being knit together with nothing from God's word, or very little from God's word, brings loneliness. And you know what fixes this? Being knit together with godliness. Loneliness and separation and detachment, depression, are caused by needing godly and human connection. Not having the godly and human connection, probably a better way to say that. It may not be about your faith. It may be about the fact that you're wired for human connection and you just don't have enough. God knows that when the events of the last 4 years happened and all the quarantines and isolation happened, it made people sick and sicker. It even caused a lot of death just from loneliness. And knitting oneself together with agape-minded people, what does it bring? The heart being comforted. The heart being comforted. It's just a tenderness. It's a sweetness. It's a godliness that happens. And so we allow our believing faith to shift from being attached to legalism and the things that did not have, well, they had a perceived comfort, but not this kind of comfort, to be mixed with freedom and liberty, sadness, anxiety, guilt-ridden thoughts, depression, loneliness, misery. They're all going to leave at comfort's possibilities. Comfort will happen. Who told you that? Well, God's word just did. Well, let's look at another one. The new absolute black and white brings peace and access by faith into God's grace. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And in verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Well, we're talking about the faith of Jesus Christ. We're justified by his faith. We believe in what he accomplished with our faith. And then we have peace with God. And we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. You see, our faith, we mix with Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. When we confess Jesus as our Lord and believe God raised him from the dead, we were saved at that point. That was our faith. We're saved by faith, by God's grace, and we have access because of our salvation. Well, it's also access by the faith of Jesus Christ, what he accomplished, and that he was the forerunner, the first one who entered into the throne room of God. That's right. So we have access by faith. Faith is a big deal, isn't it? It's justification. We're being justified by faith. Now, we're justified by the faith of Jesus Christ, just as if we never sinned, because God covered all of man's sins with the blood of Jesus Christ, with his perfect sinless life and what that blood represents. So we have that. But how does our faith come in then? Our faith comes in that we mix our faith, the measure that God dealt to us, we mix it with the truths of God's word that says we're justified. Just as if Adam's high treason never happened. Justification. We allow our believing faith to shift and be mixed with the peace and the rejoicing from the freedom and liberty of justification. Just as if I never sinned. Sadness, anxiety, sin consciousness, guilt-ridden thoughts, depression, misery, loneliness, they're all going to leave at peace and rejoicing's possibilities. Peace will happen. We have peace. Our heart can be quieted. You see how it's so important that we put on God's word, we believe it, and we absolutely black and white behave our lives accordingly? Peace comes in. God's quietness, because he dwells inside of us. The peace of God, because God is a God of peace. Peace originates from God. God is peace, and the peace that reigns in his presence is also there. We're in his presence. There's nothing but peace. Yeah, there's none of this other stuff. The sadness and guilt, anxiety. That's why it's up to the individual to take and choose God's word over any other thing. And God's word provides these things. These are its benefits. God's word does not provide sadness and anxiety and guilt-ridden thoughts and depression and loneliness and sin consciousness and misery. They must leave at peace and rejoicing's possibilities. Peace will happen. Who told you that? God's word did. The next one, the new absolute black and white of members in particular. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27 and 28. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, and diversities of tongues, that's speaking in tongues, and having more than one language that you speak. We're all the body of Christ and members in particular, gift ministers, God's dunamis power and manifestation. There's plenty of helps in a godly administrative way of moving his word together in the operation of the manifestations of Holy Spirit. The godly way his word is to move with its accompanying spirituality will happen. All this will come into being. It's not like you're leaving something. If you feel like you have to leave a whole culture and a way of beliefs, what are you stepping into? Like nothing. No, you're stepping into everything. You're stepping into how it's run in the heavenlies, how things happen up there. And then that's transferred down here in our lives with the written knowledge of God's word. Who told you that? God's word did. Well, the last one I want to share, and I'm sure there's many more, but the last one I want to share about the new absolute black and white brings fruit and lots of it. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Verse 22, Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. No law, no tradition, no cultural separation, no ordinance of man, no rules or regulations can ever stop godly fruit from happening. Fruit indicates the quality of life. Fruit's part of the outcome of how we're living our lives. As such, it really does help inform us that something is working or not, if it's helping or hurting us. We partake of our own fruit. Yeah, not just somebody coming up to get a drink or coming up to get something of that they need in life by the presence of God in Christ in us and how we stand on God's word. We need that same thing. God's word and application always produces this fruit of the Spirit. It's always helpful. It's not hurtful. It's always helpful. It's not abusive. Look at the fruit that you're producing in life. Look at your own life. I look at my life. Look at the fruit being produced. It's for you to enjoy too. Fruit of the Spirit will happen. Who told you that? God's word did. In the caption, glorious hope, riches, and power will happen. Who told you that? God's word did. The indwelling of Christ and being filled with all the fullness of God will happen. Who told you that? God's word did. joy will happen. Who told you that? God's word did. Comfort will happen. Who told you that? God's word told us that. Peace will happen. Who told you that? God's word did. The new absolute black and white of members in particular will happen. It has happened. Who told you that? God's word did. Fruit of the Spirit will happen. Who told you that? Well, God's word did. These are only some of the benefits as the shift is made from one faith to another, from one way of thinking to another, from detaching your measure or part of your measure of faith and attaching it to the greatness of God's word. We've already done this to some or many degrees in our life. We just continue to do it, and now we're seeing the process. The gray area, while shifting and from changing from whatever absolute black and white way of living there was to the absolute black and white Christ-like way of living, it's manageable. It's totally manageable. God is with us through it all. It's not so much about our actions, although we're very involved, but it's about that God is unchangeable. God's word is true. God's word will come to pass, and he's bringing it to pass no matter what we're going through, no matter what kind of thoughts are arising in our hearts, no matter what persecution, what kind of suffering, what kind of anything we're going through in life. That's totally separate. God's word comes to pass, and God's word tells us that. Sure, we've all gone through it. This is a way full of glorious hope, riches, and power, the indwelling of Christ, being filled with all the fullness of God, joy, comfort, peace, the fruit of the Spirit, a godly structure, the way that he wants his word administered to in this day and time, from the home, and however they met from house to house, and how they set up the apostles and the helps and governments, and how abundant sharing worked. All that is a godly structure. And coupled with the operation of the manifestations of Holy Spirit, wow, God's grace, God's freedom and liberty abounds. Who told us that? God's word tells us that. Amen.